Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Medicinal Herbs Podcast from Holistic Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Parent, and this month we're joined again by Baris Burgoyne, a naturopath and clinician in Australia for the past 33 years, who also lectures regularly in the United States. Baris, welcome back. So thankful to have you again on the show.
Thank you very much, Dana. It's wonderful to be here again.
Wonderful. And today we are talking about one of your favorite herbs, I hear. We're talking about saffron. So most people are probably familiar with saffron in terms of its culinary use, but can you tell us exactly what saffron is?
Yes, absolutely. Well, yes, as you say, we're all familiar with using saffron, perhaps when we can afford to buy it in our cooking, and it certainly imparts a really lovely, unique flavour. And of course, it's those beautiful, bright, red, orangey threads. And those threads are the stigmas from the the female reproductive parts of the flower. So, and of course, it's very expensive. It's the world's most expensive spice. And the reason for that is because all of those stigmas have to be hand-picked from every saffron flower. And it takes an enormous number of flowers just to make a very small amount of saffron by weight. So, we're all familiar with it in that context. But what might surprise some people is that it's also used as a herbal medicine. I use it in my clinic as a herbal medicine, but it's also been used traditionally as well.
And speaking of the history of saffron, can you speak a little bit more about, the medicine of saffron and kind of the history of saffron as an herbal medicine?
Sure. Look, saffron's been used in many different cultures around the world traditionally, particularly in Iran and in India with Ayurvedic medicine. But it's also got a history of medicinal use in the West. And I was very surprised when I came across this. It's actually mentioned in Ellingwood's American Materia Medica, Therapeutics and Pharmacognosy in 1919. So I was very surprised with that. One thing we have to be careful with when we're using saffron as a herbal medicine, it's not so important when we're using it in cooking, is that because it's so expensive, it's often adulterated. So if we are using it as a medicine in our clinics, we need to be sure that we have authentic saffron and very good quality saffron if we want to get the therapeutic effects.
And then what are some of the traditional uses of saffron across these different cultures?
It's been used traditionally and continues to be for female reproductive disorders, particularly painful or heavy menstruation. But it's also been used for coughs, colds, sore throats and asthma, etc. It's considered to be a tonic medicine. And in Ayurvedic medicine, saffron is said to support the tonic action of other herbs, particularly those acting on the reproductive system in women, such as shatavari. And many of you will be familiar with shatavari. So that appears to be a really nice combination. I find it an excellent herb for calming the nerves. And there's quite a lot of modern clinical research that shows very good efficacy for saffron in the treatment of mild to moderate depression. And there's also a lot of research showing, a whole range of other disorders as well that saffron is beneficial for.
And I think it's just fascinating that you speak about its use in nervous system disorders. That's something that many of our patients are experiencing right now. So can you speak more about that?
Most of the research in this area is focused on mild to moderate depression. And in that research, saffron's demonstrated better results than placebo and usually similar efficacy to a whole range of different antidepressant medications. And in one of these studies, they actually used it in women with postnatal depression or postpartum depression, and it showed very good results. So it's good to see some research in that area. When I use it in my clinic for nervous system disorders, I use it in a combination herbal tablet with St. John's wort, skullcap, and schisandra. And I just absolutely love that combination. It works in patients not only with mild to moderate depression, but also for patients that just have low mood, they're feeling a bit irritable, frustrated, maybe have mild anxiety. And, you know, I call it my my happy pill. Some of my patients call it their chill pill, but it's very, very effective. And I usually use it at a dose of 3 to 4 tablets daily. And when I'm giving that dose, the amount of saffron in that tablet actually delivers the amount of saffron used in the majority of clinical trials to treat mild to moderate depression. So that makes me feel, you know, very confident that not only the St. John's wort in that formula with the other herbs, but also the saffron is really helping with that antidepressant activity and supporting the nervous system overall. And I'm always very confident about the quality of the saffron that in the products that I use.
Yes, I think it's really important that we're using a really good quality products, or else we're not going to get that therapeutic action, you know, and the outcome for our patients. Now, if you were giving this combination herbal product that you had mentioned, how long how long would it take in order to see some of the effects that you mentioned?
Look, in many of my patients, I'll see effects almost immediately. If I'm feeling a little bit agitated and irritable and cranky, being a cranky old lady, then I will take 2, maybe 3 tablets. I usually don't prescribe 3 tablets to my patients, but 2 tablets. And within half an hour or so, I'm feeling much more chilled. And that's why I call it my happy pills, because they work very quickly for that. But if you're looking at more significant conditions like mild to moderate depression, my experience is within a couple of weeks, you'll start seeing some results in people. And certainly maximum results by 6 weeks. And of course, that depends on the degree of the condition and people's lifestyle, et cetera.
Perfect. That's really good information to know that, that you can take some of these herbs and, you know, experience some immediate effects as well.
And for many of my patients, feel like they need to take those herbs all the time, but they have it on hand so that if they are starting to feel a bit stressed, then they will take it maybe just for a day. And they all report that it's just really immediate calming effect on them. And, you know, most of them just wouldn't be without having it in their medicine cupboard.
And then you mentioned some other actions of this are beyond the nervous system. Are there any clinical trials that reflect this and its saffron's use?
Look, there's a lot actually, and it's quite astounding when you start looking at the research. Alzheimer's disease, different age-related eye conditions like glaucoma and macular degeneration, ADHD in children and adults, premenstrual syndrome, and there's a number of clinical studies showing that it improves sleep as well. And the herbal combination tablet that I've just mentioned, when I do prescribe that at 4 a day, and I'll use it 2 twice a day to treat these sorts of conditions, because then that gives me the twice daily dose of saffron that was used in these clinical trials. There are some studies on other things that have used a slightly higher dose of saffron, but still manageable clinically, and reducing blood sugar levels and cardiovascular risk factors in type 2 diabetic patients. So that's really important. Reduce the symptoms of ulcerative colitis and rheumatoid arthritis. So 2 very, very common autoimmune diseases, and it's thought that saffron works there because of its antioxidant capacity and its capacity to reduce inflammation. It's a very, very good antioxidant. And there's been studies showing that it improves the severity of asthma. And I've already mentioned asthma as a traditional use. And what we find is that the clinical research into our herbs very often supports traditional use, as in the case of asthma, but also gives us new uses for these herbs, like Alzheimer's, glaucoma, macular degeneration, etc. So really, it gives us new uses for these very old herbal friends that we have.
And it really sounds like there are so many ways we can use saffron. And I thank you so much for this conversation. Do you have anything further to add before we finish?
Look, I think what I would like to add is just say that, look, if you're not using or you haven't been using saffron in your clinic, please give it a try. I think you'll find it very, very effective. And as I said, I love to use it in combination with St. John's wort, skullcap, and schisandra for all of my patients with nervous system issues. And that includes mild to moderate depression, but also mild anxiety. But just an important point to remember, always check for herb drug interactions with St. John's wort. And I usually use an online catalog to do this because you really want reliable, clinically relevant information when you're looking at herb drug interaction information.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Baris, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure, and I look forward to next time.